This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to have Charles Barkley with us on Sports Byline, the Hall of Famer. And, of course, you see him on TNT. Does a great job with Ernie Johnson and Kenny Smith. And Charles, when I look at that team in the studio, I know those sort of things don't just come together. How long did it take for all of you all to kind of blend and get comfortable with each other?
I've been comfortable from the first night. I mean, because, you know, we just started. We don't practice. We don't rehearse. I'm never going to change my personality. And I'm going to say what I feel. I'm going to be honest and straightforward. Some people are going to agree with it. Some people not. But we didn't ever – I think it's worked from the first day, to be honest with you.
When I take a look at Ernie Johnson, he is a guy that's so rock steady. Does he kind of keep the ship well-keeled and well-balanced?
You know, I don't even know, man. I just kind of worry about my own thing, to be honest with you. You know, people know that I'm going to be – I'm going to say what I think. I'm going to be straightforward. I'm going to be honest. Kenny does his thing. I'm not sure what it is. He tries to be insightful. Ernie kind of just like, he's kind of like a referee. I love both of those guys to death, but, you know, I do it just so I can talk about more important things. I think it's their job. You know, I want to keep writing books and talking about more important things. I wrote the book on race a couple of years ago. I use it as a format to talk about more important, significant stuff. I tell them, I said, this is y'all job. I'm just here so I can talk about really important stuff on television and on radio.
Do you think most people are comfortable with the things that Charles Barkley says?
Well, I think they're not, because they're taught, they're kind of brainwashed to, like I tell people, I said, they're not racist, but it has race. Because I tell them, they say, like, you have to understand something, 99.9% of reporters are white. I said, like I said, they're not racist, but there's racial stuff sometimes when I get on shows. And the guy said, what do you mean? I said, just think about it. I watch television every day, and 99.9% of the reporters are white, and nobody ever says anything to them. They're, like ESPN, which I love ESPN, they trot all these little guys out there who've never touched a basketball, and people look at them as experts. And I'm like, you never question and say, they can't, they say stuff that I don't even say. But they can get away with it because they're quote-unquote experts. And I says, well, why do people say I can say whatever I want to? I says, because they're uncomfortable hearing some of the things I say come from a black guy. Because it's supposed to come from a little short white guy who's never played a sport in his life. I said, so I feel very comfortable giving my opinion. Am I right all the time? Probably not. But I'm going to be fair and I'm going to be honest. But it's just interesting when I go on these shows, people say, man, you'll say what you want to. I said, so does everybody else. You're just uncomfortable as coming from a black man.
Well, that's where I was going to next. I was just going to say, the thing that I like about what you say is, whether I agree or disagree, is that you get people to think. And not everybody does that, and particularly when it comes from somebody who might be in sports. I go back to the first thing I think you ever said that got people's attention, which was, hey, we're not role models. And I remember talking about it on this program, because I agree with you, by the way, Charles. I don't think athletes are. They haven't been asked whether they want to be. Nobody knows whether they're prepared to be, and it sets them up for failure. But when you got the reaction that you got, what did you think when you heard what people said? Because most of them disagreed with you.
Not really. Nike got hundreds of thousands of letters, and 80% of them were positive. I never worry about what media types think. They're just trying to, you know, I tell people, that's why we're not going to have a good election, because these talking heads on radio just argue for an hour. You watch these talk shows, they just argue for an hour. They're just trying to create controversy. But 80% of the letters that Nike got were positive. And what's actually happened, number one, obviously, I turned out to be right. First of all, most of these jocks are great role models. But what I was feeling in the black community is our kids are getting brainwashed. They think the only way they can be successful is through athletics and entertainment. And that's one of the reasons we are in serious trouble right now. That's why we got so much black-on-black crime and things like that. They don't see black doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, firemen, policemen. When you go speak to these black kids, is what I was doing back when I made the commercial. I could see they were drifting down the wrong road. They didn't think about being something important like a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, teacher, engineer. All they ever talked about, I want to play in the NBA. So I was obviously way ahead of the curve. Like I say, I knew, first of all, I always look at the big picture. I knew it was a problem. It's obviously gotten worse. It's at an epidemic at this point in the country, black-on-black crime. And I'm glad I did it, but I wish people had to listen to me more.
How do you think the average kid out there looks upon the athlete? What is it that they see when they see an athlete, and particularly if it happens to be a black youngster looking at a black athlete, Charles?
Man, they see the money and the cars and the fame and stuff like that. That's all they see. You know, most people who want to be entertainers and jocks, they just want to be rich and famous. It is what it is. I could tell you something else, but it would be bogus. You know, most people want to be rich and famous for the money, you know, the big house and the big car. That's the truth of the matter, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, but I think the thing is, man, the money has gotten so astronomical. I do blame them, but I don't blame them. I just wish they would realize you're not going to be in the NBA. You're not going to be in the NFL. You're not going to play. So you got to come up with a plan B and get your education. That's one of the reasons, you know, we got so many problems in the ghetto. With this black-on-black crime, kids not getting their education because they're putting all their eggs in one basket. And before you know it, they don't make it in the NBA. They don't make it in sports. But they're not educated. And then you bring all these other factors in.
Let me share with you a comment that I put that same question to Grant Hill. I asked him, I said, when you go out in the community and you run into kids, what do you think the kids see when they see Grant Hill or any pro athlete? And Charles, this is what he told me.
I think they look at the money because it seems to be something that's definitely talked about a lot in this day and age. I don't recall when I was growing up, I had heroes, Julius Erving and you know, maybe Tony Dorsett in football and so forth, but I never knew what they made. And now it seems like it's everywhere. You know what every athlete makes, and it's all over the media, it's in the papers, it's everywhere. And so I think definitely, you know, for young folks, there's definitely attention on the money, and the opportunity to make lots of money. But I think the serious, the ball players who really have potential and have the opportunity to one day play at a high level, I think they also understand the commitment. And I don't think they look at it as you know, going and practicing. I think they enjoy it. They have fun with it. You know, they want to do it. They look forward to the opportunity they can go to the gym and shoot or go outside and play. So I think they already develop and have that passion for a sport even at a young age.
What do you think might change that perception of athletes by kids, Charles?
Well, that's a good question. But you got to understand, man, the money. I mean, the most money I ever made in 1 year, and I was 11 times All-Star, was like $5 million. Now, that's almost at the average NBA salary now is over $4 million. So as long as the money is going to be astronomical, people are going to think about it. The problem is, I always tell people, I never worry about the Charles Barkley's, the Grant Hills, the Michael Jordan. The problem is, what about those other 99% of black kids who are not getting their education? Those are the ones I concern myself with. Hey, if you're fortunate enough and blessed enough to get a job where you're making $5, $10, $15, $20 million a year, you're going to be all right. But unfortunately, my goal, we've got to address the kids that are not going to make it. You know, America discriminates against poor people, whether you're white, black, or Hispanic. You got to understand two things. You're going to be born in a bad neighborhood, and you're going to go to a bad school. So you're going to have two strikes against you right from the beginning. So you're going to have to work twice as hard as kids who live in good neighborhoods or who go to private school. That's the problem they got. They got two strikes against them before they even get out of their team. And that's a very tough thing.
What obligation do you think the black athlete has to give back to the community he came from? Sugar Ray Leonard was in here with me one time, and I remember talking to him, Charles, and I asked him, I said, how much pressure are you under to give back to your community? And he says, everybody always expects, but just because I'm a black athlete, that I have to give to black causes. And he says, it gets tough sometimes. And I hear that from a lot of athletes, Hispanic as well as black athletes. So what obligation do you think that they have?
Well, they can do what they want to. Well, first of all, it's a double-edged sword. Like, there's a lot of great causes out there, first and foremost. But the biggest problem we as black athletes have, we have so many freeloading friends and family members. Now, you got to learn to tell them no, because they're never going to stop begging for money. You don't owe your family and your friends anything. You can get whatever cause that you want to. You have to be at peace with yourself. You can't give in to peer pressure because they want to borrow your money. They think it's their money. And I'm talking about family and friends. You got to learn to tell them no. But as far as what causes you want to give to, you get whatever you want to. That's up to you.
Charles Barkley with us here on Sports Byline. Charles, hold on a second. And when we come back on the other side, Charles is going to talk about something that's very, very important to him. We'll do that as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.